You are listening to a podcast of Ice and Fire, episode 217 for the week of July 30th, 2017. Welcome back, listeners, to the longest-running podcast dedicated to the epic glory of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, occasionally Game of Thrones, and this week we're going to be talking about our trip down to Comic-Con and all the goodness we had during that. As always,
this is Amin.
And this is Kyle. But it's not just us today, I mean. We have a couple guests with us. The first person joined us on the, or is a big part of the panel we do down at Comic-Con. Tara, how you doing?
Other than, you know, con crud, I'm great. Had a great time at Comic-Con, but glad to be home. So yeah, doing good. Glad to be back with you guys again.
Nice. And we also have... We have someone who was in attendance at the panel this year. Jonathan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, and I, knock wood, have not come down with an illness from Comic-Con, so I'm pretty pleased with that.
You have a very strong immune system, good sir.
You just gotta chuck down vitamins while you're there, too. The conventions are always dangerous for catching cold.
Yeah, and honestly, I usually get really lucky, but one of my roommates was sick, and I'm pretty sure I caught it from him.
Now, Jonathan, you are on the forums and everything as well. I don't think you gave your name for that yet.
Yeah, so it's Eigenvector John on the forums, and I've been listening to the podcast for 9 years now or so. I don't post a lot on the forums. I usually lurk more than I post, but occasionally I'll get on. I've been reading the books since they came out back in 1996, so I've been waiting a long time for the finish.
Wow, you were an OG reader, huh?
Yes, and I read Martin too. Even yeah, before yeah. that. I so read Wild Cards and some of the short stories back in the 80s, and so it's been a while.
So you're the one guy reading Wild Cards, huh?
Oh, I think there are more, but I actually haven't read the more recent Wild Cards, so I'm behind.
Oh, nice. I don't really know much about Wild Cards. It's like, can you give me a brief synopsis?
Yeah, basically, it's George and his friends were playing too much of a role-playing game, and they needed...
Like, 7 or 8 years ago, when you couldn't find any, like, Song of Ice and Fire merchandise, and then Game of Thrones.
So it's basically a superhero series in an alternate Earth.
Oh, nice. So, like, a superhero RPG, not a D&D.
Yeah, superhero fiction.
I love it.
Well, did George actually play the turtle then? Was that his character? Or
I believe it was, but I'm not 100% certain.
But it is like one of the, it's at least the character is like him, apparently, right? Like he says, he describes that character being similar to him.
So, Amin, you kick us off. What went on this past weekend?
Let's do it. Well, I mean, we're just going to basically kind of talk about each day what happened. And you didn't join us till Saturday, right, Colin? Like you, I guess you had trouble finding somewhere to stay.
Well, no, I had somewhere to stay, but that person moved the weekend before con, so yeah, I usually stay with friends down there, and about a week before Comic-Con they got a job with Apple up in San Jose, and then the weekend before they moved, so I went from having a place to not having a place, so I just decided to go do a single day, get down there really, really early Saturday and leave really late at night, which may have not been the best option, but it happened.
Okay, I guess we'll just talk about Wednesday. I got there and I met you, John. Kyle, we normally go to the tequila bar in the Marriott there, right? That's our place.
Yep.
But we kind of upgraded this time. Like this year, we went to the upstairs indoor marina kitchen.
Whoa.
That's where I went there quite a few times, yeah. And that's the first time we went there, and it was good. Like it's good food, but we have more things happen later in the week as we get to it, but... That's when I met John and his wife, Anna, there.
Nice.
Yeah, the food is much better at the Marina Kitchen than the tequila bar. The ambiance is not quite as good.
You mean the tequila bar where we had dinner with George? You mean that food wasn't like 5 stars? Come on.
they don't have what George ordered that time. They had a burger and it's gone now. They took it off the menu.
No wonder he hasn't been back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tell me about what happened. I'm so out of the loop. I didn't even get.
All right, thank you guys all so much for coming out today.
this trip.
I feel like I don't know, John and Tara, but if you felt like, I felt preview night was busier than normal this year. There was a lot of people in there.
I mean, I've never actually been to preview night, but I mean, it was crowded. So
I was stunned at how crowded preview night was, and I was panicked that if this is preview night, the rest of the week would be totally impassable. But then it dawned on me when Thursday was much lighter traffic that there are actually other things to do other than go to the dealer hall. So a lot of those people who were at preview night were in panels, I assume, instead of the... But it was packed.
Everyone and their baby, like in a stroller, comes to preview night now. Apparently, like, they the couple babies in strollers. Oh, actually, Tara, didn't you have a tell the baby in stroller story, or was that something else?
No, that was me. It was later in the weekend. I honestly don't remember what day, but I was walking. I think it was later in the weekend. It was definitely in the dealer hall though, and somebody was literally using their stroller. I mean, they were hunched over the stroller, you know, handle. There wasn't even a kid in it. They were just using it to push their way through the aisle. And I mean, they weren't just strolling along either. They were walking really fast, like with this, you know, a stroller. The word is escaping me right now. The
plower.
Yeah, like a plow in front of them.
Crowd plower.
Yeah, jeez. And I was like, the first thing I thought of too when that happened was you, Amin, because.
Well, so they don't let you take carts and stuff into there, but you can take strollers. So people just take strollers, and then like, where's the baby? There's like no baby. They just put like items.
Yeah, she says, and one other.
Of course. Well, yeah, awesome. Melisandre can't keep putting all of her.
Okay, well, that was mainly it for Wednesday, though. I mean, I got to... my friend Sam joined me this year, and she, like, we met Sam, and she had, like, 10 free books, and she had won, like, this Mass Effect, like, backpack and, like, text that was worth, like, $150.
Oh, so she did preview night right, then.
She did. Yeah. She knew where to go, and, well, there's one of the highlights of Comic-Con this year was the, what was it, the bubble machine? The bubble gum machine?
Bubble gum machine.
What? Yeah, once a day you could go and it draw a bubble gum for you, and if it was white, it would just be like a piece of paper. But if it was a different color, you could win something. So that was our highlight this year. We kept going to.
Where was that?
That was where was that, John? You remember that was near Del Rey?
It was in the dealer's room, right across from Del Rey Publishing. I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh man,
company, and they were. Okay. I got a nice big thick $40 Pokemon book.
So I got the same Mass Effect backpack and text, and I want to probably sell the text, so make some money off of it.
To make some money off of it. There's always so much to do. I feel like I feel like I always miss more than I actually accomplish, but you know, especially one day. But awesome. Did you do the Game of Thrones experience on preview night? I mean,
by the time I emailed, they said it was full, but they said you could RSVP for Friday morning, so I just did that. But I think Michal and some other people, like, if you went there, you might still get in that night, but we just did it Friday morning.
Okay. There you go. So, yeah. Did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah, it was, I mean, first of all, like, the way to do it is press. It's well, not worth waiting 4+ hours to get in.
So first, you just have to set up a podcast, you have to run it for 9 years, and then you can get in. You can get in when you want, so.
Have dinner with George, and then you'll be good. You'll be able to... then you would have to wait 4+ hours in line to get in. You can go in the press time, and it was great. We have you go in and you do like a King of the North video where you film a few scenes and then you're the King of the North, like they're cheering you.
Can we post mine on the homepage? Can we post videos? Mine came out really good.
Yeah, let's put it. Yeah, we'll post the video with this episode. Yeah, we can put it up there.
Sweet.
And then there was, you know, throne going in the throne, and then also the dragon's stone like throne as well, and then the giant board game map, which is pretty awesome.
The board game map? You mean the table at Dragonstone?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's like the board game. You mean the table that's in the show and everything? Yeah. Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, the table that Melisandre and Stannis had sex on while it was there.
Oh my gosh, that's its defining moment. They did have a couple costumes sporadically throughout the place, but usually they have more costumes and props. But I think they kind of I've started to realize that people like the little gifs and the videos they can make.
The dragonglass dragonglass like thing on your arm, right? The wristband.
Was that what it was? Was it dragonglass? I just
it's supposed to be.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah.
Did you get the Night King thing, or what did you get?
Oh, yes, like, we got the little Night King dolls or whatever they are.
Figure, I guess, yeah.
Funko, the little Funko Pops, yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan, when did you do it?
I did it with Amin. He was able to hook up. So.
Oh, I see how it is. I was going to ask how long you waited, but you took the Amin Express.
They're okay. My crew. I came in with my camera crew. Remember, I have a camera crew.
Yes, I forgot you were bringing down a camera crew. I forgot.
You have a camera crew for your podcast.
We did film it, and we'll be able to release it because I sat on the edge of the table so we can just black me out or put a man with a skull on me or something, and then we'll be able to put that video up eventually of the panel.
Oh man.
I didn't get to go because I didn't have a press pass. I mean, I guess I could have.
You had the email though.
Yeah, I did, and like I could have tried, but I don't remember what happened, but I was not out of bed early enough Friday morning. I think it had something to do with the party I went to the night before. One of my friends went on Sunday, and they gave them extra stuff in their goodie bags. Like, she got the Night King Conan pop too. And she said when she was walking out, people were there offering her like $150 cash for her bag because it had like the extra pop in it. She didn't sell it, but I thought that was pretty cool that on Sunday they had extra stuff that they were putting in it.
So I shouldn't tell you guys that I am currently looking at my White Walker Conan pop figure. Whoops! They had it on Saturday too.
Oh wow!
There you go.
Well, yeah. you were also able to get in this press then, Carl, right? Like you got permission there.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
You know why, I bet? Because the Conan thing was Friday with the Game of Thrones cast.
Ah, very true. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, there was also a kind of a, I like to call it the Matrix 360 shot of fighting off some White Walkers and stuff, where you're whipping around a sword and you've got the Jon Snow cloak and you make a gif. Yeah, it was a cool experience. I had a good time at it this year. I think there were lots of neat things in there. But I can't imagine waiting in line for like 5 hours or whatever for that experience.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. I'd much rather, there are so much to do at Comic-Con that you don't have to wait 5 hours for. I just don't understand why people would do that, but...
Yeah, I was actually walking around a little after with my gift bag, and a lady just ran up to me out of nowhere, and she goes, "I know you just went through the experience." She's like, "I'm in the back of the line. Should I wait all day for it?" And I was like, "Don't get me wrong, it was fun, but you should probably do several other things instead."
yeah,
but yeah, the line is just ridiculous. I mean, I got there, like I told you guys, I got there early on Saturday. I got there at 7 a.m. A Saturday morning, and I immediately I parked and I walked over, and the line was already around the entire building, and it had already overlapped itself. That's how long the line was.
There were people camping outside for it the night before.
Yeah, I saw that walking around Saturday night. I left probably around 2 a.m. Saturday night, and there was already half a line of people camped out for the next morning. Like, holy
no thanks.
Oh, man. Jonathan, this was your first time to Comic-Con, right?
It is definitely my first San Diego Comic-Con. It is certainly not my first convention. and Amin hooked us up, and Tara also. So between the two of them, I was able to bring my whole family. We just had a grand time, and I can't thank them enough for getting us access to tickets since they're next to impossible.
Oh, that is awesome. Where did you guys come in from?
We came in from the Washington, D.C. area.
Oh, cross country. All right.
And one quick funny thing with my daughter. So we were walking through the artist's alley, and my daughter noticed this artist doing all these wonderful commissions and drawing these beautiful pictures, and noticed that she had exactly the same badge the artist did. And she's like, "This is wrong. It's like, this guy does beautiful work and I bring nothing to the table."
Yeah, both professional badges. Yeah.
Oh, the Comic-Con life. Yeah. I know, I was in the press thing at the Game of Thrones experience, and I was standing next to all these other press folk from all these big companies, and I'm like, "Oh, all right. So we've got our little podcast that I, I do in my shorts from home, and here you are with your multi-million dollar corporation. But, you know, let's, you know, we're equals now.
No, you're superior to them. Your knowledge is far superior than that person. in Westeros. So.
Possibly. My shocking lack of knowledge is far superior.
Yeah, I had one of those moments at preview night. I was, I went up to the Outlander booth because I'd been, you know, contacted from the, you know, PR people saying like, hey, if you want to visit the Outlander booth, like, just come see this person and she'll like, you won't have to wait in line or whatever. And, you know, she'll talk to you about the booth and everything. So I go up, I find the person and the people like, or I found these people who are asking for the same person. So I just kind of followed them around the corner and they were a group of press from TV Guide. And I was like, ha, TV Guide. Like, this is as cool as like seeing a star. Like I'm in the press line with people from TV Guide.
We did see a star, didn't we? Remember at the dinner at the kitchen, we saw Ramsay.
That was Saturday night, right? Or was it Friday night?
Bolton was on Friday night, I think, right? Or it was earlier. Yeah, I stole Ramsay Bolton's seat.
Yeah, that was Wednesday. That was preview night.
That's dangerous. I mean, that is dangerous. Oh, that's awesome. So you guys saw him? Did you get to talk to him at all, or he just stole his seat?
Tara did a bit, right?
I talked to him for like a minute. He was up there with his, you know, gal pal, whatever she is, ordering a drink.
His gal like, pal.
I mean, you know, she was clearly more than a friend by the way he was hanging on her.
I don't want to say too much. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that well
said. Yeah, yeah. I'm just gonna agree with you on that. I saw him outside again later, and I saw the way he treated another fan who approached him specifically because of him being him. Like I wouldn't have even known it was him except for he walked right up next to me at the bar. You know, I saw another fan approach him, and the interaction that happened was not exactly something that gave me a positive vibe. You know, it's what it is. Yeah.
So we didn't mind missing dinner with him, but we wanted to have dinner with Pierce Brown. Tell me about that.
I mean, you know, I didn't ever think it was actually going to happen, but maybe someday when I finally get my Red Rising convention off the ground, like 2019 or so, if he attends, then I will get to have dinner with him.
Wait, who is this? Who is this?
Pierce Brown. He writes a series called Red Rising, and it's a really good book series. There's like three books that's the first trilogy, and then there's another book coming out that's like separate from the trilogy, and there's comics for it and everything. And he's very attractive to me personally.
To me.
So it's weird because it's like I don't usually get like tongue-tied and stuff when I talk to famous people, especially after all this time, you know, in the industry and everything. But like every time I've gone to get a book signed or whatever, my heart is just in my throat the entire time. I'm even like waiting to like get a book signed by him. So I am 34 years old and this guy makes me weak in the knees.
It happens.
Well, it's better that it's a, you know, creator of content like an author. Like that's better than just.
Yeah, I
like,
mean, and he's like, I love the books too. Like they're great. You know, so he's talented as well. It's like not even fair that there's like that much going on with this one person.
That's the thing about Comic Con though, is you can just run into people from all these different. Like it was funny. I was talking to my friend. She told me she met Pierce Brown. I was like, oh yeah, we should invite him to dinner. And then a second later, he was just walking behind me on the escalator, and I was like, oh, it's Pierce Brown.
Yeah, and you were like, hey, you want to go to dinner?
Well, we did invite him, but then he ended up on a boat, so he didn't show up.
Yeah, he had plans. I actually, it was really weird. I was like walking by the Del Rey booth the next day, and he was talking to a fan, and it was like one of those situations where people were just crowded so much that I couldn't get through because I was just wandering around the book area looking for free books. And I heard him talking to a fan saying like, yeah, I had, you know, I was supposed to go to like an industry party, but I skipped the party because my friend lives here and has a boat or whatever, so we just like went out on my friend's boat and hung out. And I was like, can't really fault the guy for like not wanting to do all the silly Comic-Con industry stuff in exchange for like hanging out with his buddies on a boat.
Oh man, Comic-Con. I know my close I didn't actually bump into any of the artists or creators or anything this year, but I did tweet at an actress from the sci-fi show Dark Matter that I had to miss her panel, And she responded, and that made me weak in the knees, Tara. So.
which actress, Kyle?
Melissa O'Neill from Dark Matter, who plays...
That's the one who plays Portia Lynn?
Yes, Portia Lynn. Yep, absolutely. Okay. And come to find out, she actually won the third season of Canadian Idol, which I did not know.
I didn't know that there was a Canadian Idol.
Yeah, apparently there was. But
neither did I.
But Jonathan, you watch Dark Matter too?
I do, and at a convention I went to earlier this year, we met number 5.
Oh, cool.
This was a much more smaller regional convention where you actually can speak to people. And then the previous year, my daughter talked with Anthony Lemke, who I think is number 3.
I always get the numbers mixed up. but yeah, that's awesome. That is cool. Yeah, I really wanted to go to that and the Expanse. But the Expanse was right before our panel. I couldn't go because then I couldn't make it out in time. I guess I could have gone for the first few minutes or so, but the Expanse and Dark Matter, those are my shows of choice right now. And I was bummed I couldn't make it to either panel.
But, same. I love the Expanse. Have you read the book series?
No, because I learned from doing this podcast and watching Game of Thrones that I don't mix and match books and shows anymore.
You know, honestly though, the Expanse is one of those ones where they've already got 5 books out, I think, or 6. And the next one's coming out, and just, they put a book out like every year, year and a half. And there's differences in the show, but it's like the differences are very well done. And like the reasons why they exist are very like, they're obvious. You know what I mean? Like obvious changes of like, we can't have this many characters. We can't do this thing because it would involve some insane, you know, CGI budget that a sci-fi show especially can't afford. But yeah, I mean, actually, Ashea from the History of Westeros podcast watches the show and I know she reads the books, and I hadn't read the books for that same reason. She kind of said, no, listen, like there's differences, but it's not as maddening. And she's right. Cause I'm like about to finish the, you know, most recently published book. And obviously I watched both seasons, and it's like actually very refreshing to watch a show that's based on a book series that I've enjoyed so much. That's actually really well done despite its differences.
Yeah, still not going to do it, but I dig that. You know, the show is going to be, I mean, hopefully the show is going to run for a few more seasons. I hope it doesn't get canceled. But when that's done, then I'll gladly pick up the books and read that. But I can enjoy one thing at a time. There's lots of other books I can read while I'm enjoying the show. I don't need to mix and match. And I think I've learned my lesson, despite how much better it sounds in that regard. But yeah. So let's get back to Comic-Con, because I don't think this is going to be a shorter episode. I don't think we have that much time. So, Amin, what else did you want to talk about the con?
Sure. I guess before we get to our panel, let's just talk about a couple of panels we went to in general. I went with John and Anna to a panel comparing Japanese superheroes to American ones. That was pretty cool. cool. Was that a good experience, John? Like, do you remember anything?
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I've watched some anime over the years, but not a ton. Amin got us hooked on One Punch Man. So
of course he did.
They mentioned who has had watched One Punch Man, and a bunch of people raised their hands, and then Amin stood up in his outfit and then got a standing applause.
Yes. I hope you did like a hero pose when you stood up.
Yeah, I did the same pose I did in my Game of Thrones King of the North thing. I just put my hands up, like, got the crowd going. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, I mean, we went to my group went to a bunch of panels. The most interesting one we went to had the an emergency manager from the city of San Diego, a member of the city council for San Diego, and the comptroller of the state of California, the insurance commissioner for the state of California, and some mayor of some town I don't know that's outside of San Diego. and they watched a bunch of superhero film clips and then discussed what the emergency response to that clip would be.
So like the Avengers fighting in New York, or...
In New York, exactly. And or... whether you'd be insured, and what the actual... process to actually recover from that would be. It was actually quite good.
That sounds funny. That sounds interesting. I didn't know where you were going with that, but I that had a payoff. I dig it. I like it. That's awesome.
And we saw John Barrowman, and he was he's always great.
Oh, yeah, he is.
And he just found out he had appendicitis right after and had to be emergency evacuated to a hospital like two days after Comic-Con. But
wow.
I heard about that. That's crazy.
He seems to be doing well now, but his panel was really good.
Awesome. He's always a blast. I saw him at his signing, and he was just up and hugging everybody. And I've been to a panel with him, and he's just he's a ball of energy. I love that guy.
Didn't you go to Bruce Timm's panel as well, or is that another convention?
I did go to Bruce Timm's panel. That was I actually really liked it because it was just Q&As from the audience, and the audience I thought asked some really good questions. One of the questions some young lady asked, did she think Harley Quinn and the Joker really loves Harley Quinn? And Bruce Timm asked, no, I think she's just a monster. But but I did not know until this panel that Harley Quinn was created for Batman the Animated Series, and that was her first appearance in the DC Universe. And now she's like the fourth most popular DC character, so I thought that was sort of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when she crossed over how big a deal it was into the comics and stuff. Wild. Very cool.
Are you a Batman the Animated Series fan, Kyle?
I did watch it when I was young. Yeah, you'd watch that and Superman and X-Men, and I watched all those when I was growing up. Absolutely.
Okay, I'll just name drop two people that, like, I guess, promote two people that were good, run good panels. One person is Deb Aoki, and she runs really good anime and manga panels each year. And then Janice Davis does more like women perspective in the industry kind of thing, and gets some really interesting panels out there. How it is to work in like a male-dominated industry. They both run really good panels, and I enjoy going to them. So, okay, that's it in terms of panels, and then we have our panel, right? How was our panel?
Oh, it was the worst panel I've ever been to.
Well, John, you were there, right? You can give us a objective perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked your idea of going through the different theories, which you cut a little short in some way. In some of them, you just sort of listed them, but no one seemed that interested in talking about them. So I thought it was good that when no one seemed interested, you just quickly passed on to the next one that people were more interested in. I thought you did a good job with that and keeping it moving.
Thank you. Yeah, Amin's got a million theories. So
we had more than one slide for our PowerPoint this year, which we will release with this episode as well. They'll be able to
yeah,
listen.
I was going to ask if we were going to include that because it's... definitely a fun list of. We didn't even get to talk about all the theories, but
yeah, the time flew by the panel this year. I was like, oh, we got like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, it always seems to go so quick. It's like God, and I'm always amazed at that we get quite a few people that show up. First of all, they have to walk so far away from the convention center, and to talk about A Song of Ice and Fire, like, it just shows you that there is a desire for it. So I'm glad we get to do it.
Yeah,
I think
John.
Amin's right. If you could get into the main ballroom, I think you'd pretty much fill one of the smaller rooms there, which holds usually about 300 or 400 people.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to, and granted, the one issue with having it in the main convention center is it depends on the panels that are after yours. Like, one of the panels I went to was Westworld Law, but there was like an official Sailor Moon panel happening right after that. So the room was packed, but I don't think everybody was there for Westworld Law. And if they were, they've been waiting there for a while, and I feel sorry for them because it was not a very good panel. I mean, this is like kind of the opposite of Jonathan, your panel that you went to with the, you know, mayors or whatever, the people talking and people talking about who pays for the superhero damage. Like, I thought it was going to be a really cool panel. You know, it had like a judge and a bunch of, you know, high end lawyers on it. But I sat through, I think, 40 minutes of what's like a 45, 50 minute panel. And the first like 20 minutes of it, they were just showing videos off the Westworld website. But yeah, like, so it depends on what's after your panel. Like, cause then, you know, if there's something, you know, really, really popular or big happening soon after, the room is going to be full, but not necessarily with people who are there for you. But I would really love to be in the main hall, like maybe next year. I know we tried for this year.
We tried, but I'll push harder this year because we have like 3 years of experience doing it, and I know the people well. And even though I won't be there next year, you guys will be able to carry it indoors, I think. So
yeah, keep your fingers crossed that Ashley isn't getting married that weekend, and I'll be there.
Oh, shit. Kyle, do a one-man panel.
I know, it's going to be me, like, rise, everyone.
you'll be the only one wearing turquoise.
you can always recruit some people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
House Manwood will come raise the banner.
I'll call the banners. I feel like I could find some folks to do. I don't know. We'll see. That's a year away. Absolutely. And our fashion faux pas, Amin and I both showed up in turquoise shirts.
But it balanced out very well with my red, so.
Yeah, turquoise is the new black.
Yeah, you had the red, you sat in between us, we were Amin and I were ice, and you were fire, and it worked out.
I added in some shipping as well this time, just to keep things interesting, so.
Yeah.
That was good.
It's always a fun time. Enjoy it.
Okay.
There were less cosplayers.
I'm Aegon Arya shipper myself.
Who?
Aegon and Arya.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, I'm listening.
Well, I mean, it just makes some logical sense if he actually turns out to be real.
She wants.
I guess I could see if he was real, or even if he's not, but they like he still actually turns into like some sort of decent player, which I doubt, but like him and Sansa, because he was raised to be like the perfect, you know, king and knight and gentleman. I feel like, and actually come to think of it, I have read fan fiction about Sansa and Aegon, so it is a thing that exists.
Nice. I feel like every possible pairing of shipping exists somewhere. Somebody's got that idea in there.
Stannis, Tywin. There's all kinds of combinations out there.
Well, now that you say that, no.
Oh my god! And like their ship name could be Stywin, and it just makes me think of like a sty in your eye, because I feel like that is exactly how each of them would feel about the other.
Oh my god! I love it. Was anybody able to get into the Game of Thrones panel?
No.
I tried.
It was on Friday, so I wasn't down there, but I heard they didn't really reveal all that much, so just kind of... I read a lot of articles about it saying it was kind of a missed opportunity, because it's the first year that there's more of the show. They could have kind of hinted at some things or whatnot, and they just sort of showed a what's coming up video, and then sort of joked around and whatnot.
Overhearing someone who went, they said that Alfie Allen's puppy sort of dominated the panel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I think that was my friend Nami, who was at our panel as well. I know her from Dragon Con, and yeah, she was very, everybody was obsessed with his little, I mean, it was his tiny little, I don't know, like a Pomeranian or a Shih Tzu or something, a teeny tiny little fluffy puppy that he brought, which honestly, like, probably not a bad thing, considering, you know, nobody really likes Theon right now. And then after like what happened in Sunday, like the episode that aired, you know, a couple days later, I feel like that puppy is probably the only reason why poor Alfie Allen isn't getting like death threats and stuff.
He had to do it. He's like, love me, please. Oh, cool.
All right, two more things to cover. One is, after the panel, I had to leave and Kyle did, but Tara, you and John kind of had a post-panel meetup, right?
Yeah. I mean, you were there for a few minutes, but like throughout the evening, we actually went to this time, and honestly, this is probably what we're going to want to do like next year, is just walk, like immediately walk four blocks the opposite direction, because we went to this like burger place. It was actually right under the condo building where I was staying. And as the evening wore on, like more people showed up. The hosts of the Got Thrones podcast were there for a little while. They brought friends. Eventually, Jonathan and Lydia and James, who go to Ice and Fire Con, they were there as well. And eventually we all decided to meet, you know, up with you guys back at the Marriott. But yeah, no, we were there for a couple hours, two and a half hours, really. It was a good time. So as long as I'm there next year, we'll, I'm sure, do our little dinner and drinks thing once again. So
awesome. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun to be able to talk with people you don't know and hear their versions of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
Their theories.
What, are you tired of listening to us after 9 years, Jonathan? What's going on?
Well, no, I mean, it's like, I was thinking more, you guys are also great. It's more that, like, you know, my family are, well, my daughter's into comic books a lot. She's more of a TV show watcher, so I can't discuss the differences in the books. My wife reads Graham Greene and Thomas Mann. You know, George R. R. Martin's not her style. So
she did thank me for letting you cook dinner.
Yeah. So basically, I often listen to the podcast while I cook dinner. So I tend to have a podcast running as I cook, and yours has often been one of them. So she's heard the podcast quite a bit.
I love it. What comics is your daughter into?
She likes a lot of the DC and Marvel comics. She cosplayed Zatanna at Comic-Con, which was interesting because that's not really a character she's really into, but she realized it would be fairly easy to do on short notice when we found out we were coming.
So, that's awesome. Yeah, I did notice the Zatanna cosplay. I'm always nervous to compliment people on their cosplay, because I had an incident once where I was trapped in an elevator. Well, I wasn't trapped in it. I was in an elevator with some cosplayers, and I said the wrong cosplay. I was like, oh, I really like your such and such. And they were like, oh, thanks. And then I immediately realized that it wasn't that, it was a different cosplay, and then I was trapped in the elevator with them for like 5 more minutes. And so I'm always afraid to compliment people because I always have a doubt in the back of my head where I'm like, I think that's what it is, but maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about.
One of the highlights for the convention actually was post-convention for us. My wife and I and we went and met an old friend and her husband and daughter at a restaurant for dinner, in came some cosplayers who took over the table right next to us, including one who was totally not wearing any clothes other than body paint.
Oh.
So they, needless to say, they got an eyeful.
Oh, man. So, yeah, jeez. So I was so bummed I didn't get to join you guys after the panel. I had to run. I actually had a concert to go to. The San Diego Symphony was playing a concert on the music based off of John Williams. And it was pretty awesome, but I was bummed I didn't get to join you guys for drinks and food afterwards, because I always have a blast doing that. And I felt a little awkward, but I wanted to thank you, Jonathan, because you came up to me after the panel and handed me a game that you had made based off of Secret Hitler. You made me Secret Targaryen, and it is this custom-made game, and I am just so so thankful. It looks so awesome, and I can't imagine the time you put into it. And to just say thank you and then have to run, I felt absolutely terrible. But I wanted to say thank you again. It's such an amazing gift, and I appreciate it so much.
No problem. I hope you enjoy it. We're still playtesting the rules that I developed. We played quite a bit at Ice and Fire Con, and Amin had some rule suggestions. I think the 20 existing copies are going to be the only 20 copies that ever get printed, but
well, if you update the rules, make sure you send them to me, because I need updated rules for my copy if you change them.
fair enough.
You need
some of the rules, you know, were a little unclear as we actually played it.
No doubt.
Yeah, I'm good at finding like the problems and rules and bending them, but I think you should add a Dolores Ed option, like the Tanner and Werewolf, like that tries to get killed.
Oh my god,
yeah, that would be But that will be the expansion.
Anything with Dolores N is like, yes, please.
You just have to add one card, though. He doesn't even need expansion. Just add the one card, and their goal is to get voted off or killed or whatever. Get killed, yeah.
I love it. I definitely have a group of friends that play games like this, so I'll be bringing it over, and we'll be diving in. So I'm very excited.
So most of the characters that from the set were people who were at Ice and Fire Con who gave me the permission to use their likenesses. Nice. So
I was going to ask. I assume that they were people from Ice and Fire Con, but I was like, I don't know. Maybe he's just.
Yeah, I'm in there somewhere.
Nice. I love it. It's such an awesome gift. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
You're welcome.
Cool. I guess I'll couple things and then the last thing. Sorry, I'll be quick. So first thing is the Dragon wristwatch, Dragonglass wristwatch. Do you guys still have that?
Yeah. Let me just roll my chair over, and I can.
I found it was pretty cool. I like to wear. I'm gonna keep that thing that we could like wear it to like meetups and stuff. It'd be like, oh, you were there.
It didn't fit my wrist quite right, so I'd probably not wear it. But
is this from the Game of Thrones experience?
Yes.
You're talking about?
Because when you would scan it and they would email you the photos.
I have it somewhere. I don't know what I did with it.
Oh, here it is. Okay, so it's just a skinny snap bracelet with GOT and then hashtag GOTSDCC, but in the middle it has a electronic kind of disc that's sort of glued on there with a little sticker of a Dragonglass spearhead or arrowhead on it.
You should tweet that out. I'll share it with the... Yeah, the other thing that we got that we always get every year are the Fox poster tubes. That's always, you always have to go first and get your Fox poster tube, which we did.
Nice.
And then the final thing was we always have that final dinner on Saturday night, and we got to get the best room possible, I think.
No question.
It was,
we were in the private dining room for the marriage.
Yeah, like the wine cellar with this big, long, awesome table and everything. Because they tried to put us at a table where we were all, it wasn't even a table, it was like sitting, we were all on the same side, and we were like, can we just have...
We mutinied. We're like, we want a better table than this. Pierce Brown is coming. We need a better table.
As we were waiting, like, eventually someone came over and was like, oh, no, you're not even supposed to be here. You're supposed to be at that table. So supposedly they put us at the wrong table. I don't really know. I don't really know if that was the case or what, but it was like the manager. They moved us pretty quick.
We had the best table. Like it was. I'll share pictures of that. I think I have it on my Twitter, but I'll share it with this episode. And I think I made about a dozen Pierce Brown is coming jokes to dinner. Right? I think that was pretty.
Yeah.
Accurate tally.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw the picture. It looked sweet. Looks great.
Nice. Yeah, you need to get that room every time. Just go be like, hey, we need the podcast room, please.
Well, that's a room you could actually podcast live from if you want to.
Yeah.
Good, because you can close the doors. It'll actually be quiet. Yeah.
Oh.
It's glass, so you can see everything outside, but you can close the doors as well. So.
Let's get George back.
Yeah, that's right. We have a better table for him this time.
Awesome. So, is that about the time? I know you guys, some of you guys have to run.
We're low on time, too.
One thing I'd like to just say as a shout-out, Comic-Con was great, and I love it, and it's a big con, and you can see tons of stuff, but I'd like to shout-out to the smaller fan-run conventions like Terra's Ice and Fire Con, and there's one here in Baltimore I go to called Shore Leave that are still run by the fans, where you can actually often interact with the people a lot more than you can at the bigger conventions. So, I just... have to give a, you know, thank you, Tara, for running the small fan-run ones, because I must admit, overall, I generally like those better myself.
I'm in the same boat as you, because I run one of them, but, like, I've been to so many of these little fan-run cons, and not all of them are single genre, like Ice and Fire Con, either. But the ones, even the bigger ones that are a couple thousand people, are just, I always have so much more fun at them. Not to knock Comic-Con or whatever, you know, but it's so big and there's so much to do. There's so much going on and they're just so much more exhausting and you don't get to, you really just don't get to like see people and meet with people as much as you do at the smaller ones. But yeah, like I had a great time at Comic-Con this year, but I mean, I don't think it's gonna be hard to top last year when Ashley from Podcast of Ice and Fire was there with me. So
awesome! Here, I gotta go to more small cons. I feel like all the ones I go out to here in LA are just kind of massive productions. Yeah. So
you can always get a panel now that you're a panelist at Comic Con. You can always do a Game of Thrones panel at any small convention.
Amin is always trying to pimp us all out, I tell you. Awesome.
All right, guys.
Well, thank you guys for listening to this episode of A Podcast of Ice and Fire, where we just kind of shot the shit about Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con this year. Tara, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
Where can our listeners find you?
So my Twitter and Instagram are at A Geek Saga. That's my personal stuff. And actually my Facebook page is A Geek Saga too. It's AGEEKSAGA. And then also Ice and Fire Con is iceandfirecon.com. And we are at Ice and Fire Con, all spelled out. Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook, pretty much everywhere. So
awesome. And Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us today, good sir.
No problem. It was delightful. Thanks a lot.
Do you have anything you'd like to promote or anything anywhere
our
listeners can
find you? No, I
have
nothing to promote. Not that I'm allowed to since I'm a federal employee.
Are you kickstarting Secret Targaryen?
No, I'm absolutely not. That was done just for Ice and Fire Con and for some friends, and I have no intention of selling it or doing anything with it whatsoever. It was just a labor of love, and it was actually suggested that we do something to that effect by Thomas, who unfortunately couldn't make Ice and Fire Con this year. And when he had the idea, I'm like, "Yeah, I can do that," and I volunteered, and that's where that started.
I love it. It's even more special now. I love it so much. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jonathan. Until the next con we see you at. And to all our listeners, we'll see you at the next con, too. Thanks for listening.
Yep. See you next time, and enjoy the audio from the panel.
We got the official record happening.
Yeah, is this working too? Okay, yeah. All right, start us up.
All right. Thank you guys all so much for coming out today. This is our third year running, I believe, with the Song of Ice and Fire Game of Thrones fan panel here. It kind of started out because we were kind of disappointed that there was no real book stuff here. There was no Song of Ice and Fire stuff. Everything was Game of Thrones, and we like Game of Thrones. Well, we have a love-hate relationship,
yeah, I suppose. Some of us.
But we just, there was the HBO panel, and then there really wasn't too much else. There was nobody else talking about it, and we just kind of wanted to get fans together to be able to talk about this, the book series and the show that we all enjoy so much, and just kind of talk about the show. This is actually the first year, as you guys know, the first year that Comic-Con is happening amidst the show. Usually the show is done and kind of all the questions and stuff are sort of hashed out, but we have an episode to maybe discuss a little bit or something like that. Yeah. And then we have, so we dive into that a little bit. We'll talk about theories from the books, stuff that we love. And when we get to the theories and stuff, we want you guys to come up and ask questions too. And it's just kind of, we love talking to you guys about it. And I think you're here because you wanna talk about these things that we all enjoy too. So I guess we should start off kind of why you should even care what we have to say in the first place, who we are.
Why don't you start off?
Hi, I'm Tara. I am a writer, but also I do event planning, and one of the events I plan is Ice and Fire Con, which was the first ever Song of Ice and Fire Game of Thrones convention in the Western Hemisphere, actually. We've been running for 5 years. We just had our 5th year anniversary convention in April. So big fan of the books, first and foremost. Obviously, I watched the show because, you know, I like... can't really give that up at this point, but definitely much more of a book person, and I don't know, I've been reading for a long time. I've talked about them on podcasts with you guys, and I run a webcast as well through the Geekyary, the website that I write for, so lots and lots of Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones talk in my life.
I'm Amin. I'm a co-founder of a podcast of Ice and Fire. We've been podcasting the books over 9 years now, and we also do Vassals of Kingsgrave, which is basically Ice and Fire intersected with everything else. So we give an Ice and Fire perspective to review anime or other things like that. And it's great to be back this year.
And I'm Kyle Maddock. I am one of Amin's co-hosts on podcast of Ice and Fire. I also host AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones. And occasionally I'd hop on Screen Junkies when they'll have me. And I apologize for spinning this thing while I am talking to you. I've never touched one of these things before an hour ago. Someone gave it to me and now my life is over. So I am sorry about that. Amin, you made a slideshow so we can kind of stay on topic.
I did. I mean, right? in the past 2 years, we just had one single slide, but now we actually have an outline of kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about TV series and all 5 books, but we'll have references to World of Ice and Fire. Has anyone here read World of Ice and Fire? I'm curious to see. Yeah, it's basically like an encyclopedia type book, and then The Hedge Knight and other works. And we'll have theory discussions, we'll have some funny shipping artwork, I think, and then some other things as well. In particular, in the theories, we recommend people come up and ask questions or share their thoughts.
And please use the microphone, guys. Yeah. I know it kind of sucks getting up and whatever, but it helps us to be able to hear you, it helps the audience to be able to hear you, and it means that you'll be on a little like recording that will be aired on Podcast of Ice and Fire in a little while. So.
Yes.
There's something I want to go through really quickly, is just some of the items, and then we can get into our discussion.
Do it, do your thing.
Yeah, because this Ice and Fire is something you can just read once, you can watch once, and be done with it, but if you want to go in depth, it exists. So there's World of Ice and Fire here. There's also Hedge Knight. Anyone here read The Hedge Knight before?
Yes.
Yeah, it's about like 90 years in the past, and Brienne's predecessor, actually, like ancestor, is in it. What about the cooking book? Has anyone tried the cooking book?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually cooked. I cooked one of their recipes for the premiere. It's like my favorite recipe of theirs. I've done several, but I call it Dolores Ed's chicken. I think they call it like hen on the wall or something, but it's like a whole chicken stuffed with oats and prunes and carrots and chestnuts, and it's so delicious. So if you like cooking, please try it. It's amazing.
So you were successful. I'm not a very good cook. It's actually a pretty advanced book, I think, for me.
It is. There's definitely a lot of stuff in there I could never make, but I've tried probably 10 or 12 recipes from the book and the website that it's based on, and they're all really good, but they're not very easy. Even the easy ones aren't easy.
And didn't they make a jellied skull at one point?
I think so, for like one of the show premieres or
something.
Yeah,
because Amin and I represent House Manwoody. yes, thank you. With the skull with the crown, and the ladies over at the cookbook, they made a jellied skull once, so I hope they popped a crown on it.
There's also a language book that we actually met the guy and interviewed him, that they're trying to get the Thraki going.
J.J. Peterson, absolutely.
That's right, yeah. Just a couple other interesting things is the board game. Has anyone played the board game before? Are you still friends with your family? Or and then there's a card game, there's Clue, there's everything, so there's a whole depth of things. So
I love it.
Yeah, it's everywhere now. Remember like 7 or 8 years ago when you couldn't find any like Song of Ice and Fire merchandise? And then Game of Thrones happened, and now it's not just the show. It's, you know, they're creating so much more from the books as well, which is, I don't know, I love it.
Absolutely.
So what we have next is we're going to get into theories. I have one or two very like basic ones, and then we can kind of dive in and also get questions and comments. So
warm up with the basic ones.
I mean, like,
and then this
is like
will blow your mind.
This one's like the theory of gravity. I mean, like everyone wants it's a theory, but has everyone heard of this one?
Of course.
Right? You seem to have put something like R plus L equals J. Like, is there some people that doubt this still? Like,
I mean, there's a YouTuber who I sometimes I wonder if he's really serious. I'm sure many of you know who Preston Jacobs is. Sometimes I wonder if he's really serious about some of the theories he posits, but he seems pretty stuck on the fact that R plus L does not equal J. It equals D, aka Daenerys. So don't believe that, but you know, hey, to each their own.
But it's just so fundamental to the series. I think that I just can't.
Yeah, it seems like we all know that story that Benioff and Weiss went to George and he said, "Hey, we want to make this show." And he goes, "All right, well, tell me John's true parents."
Yeah.
And because they got it right, he allowed them to make the show or something. And since in the show now we've seen it's got the Targaryen Stark that I gotta believe this. I gotta believe.
Okay, and then there's one other one before we dive into the list. Is one that I don't like, but it's becoming more and more likely. Is this Tyrion is a Targaryen. Has anyone heard of this theory before? It's not so much in the show that there is the basis in there, but it's just that his father was Mad King Aerys is the idea. And there's just so much in the books that I don't like it. I want Tywin to be his father, but in terms of the facts, it's starting to stretch there. What do you think?
Because he used to make visits to Casterly Rock, right? Mm-hmm. All the time.
He did. I don't know if that's where it would have happened or if it happened in King's Landing.
He forced Tywin to bring Joanna to King's Landing at some point, okay. I think. Like it was basically like, do this or else sort of. And I guess when Mad King Aerys tells you to do something or else, you probably want
to
do it.
Yeah, I'm sure Tywin loved to do what the Mad King told him.
But yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I don't like the theory, but I know it's probably legit.
Yep. You have a comment or a discussion here?
Oh, do you prefer the theory that Jaime and Cersei are Targaryens?
I would prefer that, but I think World of Ice and Fire closed that one off. Like, I think people looked into it in terms of timelines. That one probably won't happen. I would have preferred it the way the Cersei acts, that maybe that she burns a tower down and kind of matches Targaryen.
Well, and there's even people who think that possibly like Jaime is Tywin's son, but Cersei is Mad King Aerys' daughter. It is actually like a thing that I guess could happen, supposedly. But I feel like, I think like, because I was like, that's not even, how could that possibly happen? But apparently there is like some medical precedence for it being possible. I don't actually think it's a thing, but there are people out there who have talked about that.
So they were having like a threesome or something? And
they had sex within a certain period of time.
First of all,
what's that like pop opera show or like soap opera show where they like, you're the father or something? That seems like
Maury.
Appropriate for this. But I like Tyrion as a chimera. I think I'm one of the people who came up with this theory. I'm not the only one, but where it's like both Aerys and Tywin are fathers, and they father two different like cells.
Yeah.
And they merged, and that's why he's like has mixed eyes and all these things.
And there's scientific basis?
There is, but the question is, did George know about these things existing back then? But he did have Maelys the Monstrous. That's why I have a image of him on there. So he kind of had some knowledge of genetic things. So maybe.
Oh, there he is. Look at that little head popping out. He's adorable.
Okay, so what we have here is a list of some potential theories, but also if you have theories or questions, you can start lining up as well. Uh-huh. Otherwise, we'll kind of just go through there. Is there anything that catches your eye up there? Or I mean, like things like
well,
that.
We had the Gravedigger
in
the first
set,
episode.
Right?
Yes, they had that cool scene with him digging the grave there, and that's... Oh, they're so messing with us, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't... The thing is, that scene wasn't really... I don't know how necessary it was, but it was definitely a great nod to book readers, which, when they do little things like that, I can't help but be like, all right, that was cool. But, I mean, also, it is, you know, in the books, he's like digging the graves on the Quiet Isle. He's, you know, doing his penance for all the bad things he did. You know, now he's burying their bodies, so I guess that's kind of the show's way of showing him doing that penance and... the Hound is maybe like the Hound is dead, and now he's Sander and whatever.
Sandor.
So
the Hound is dead.
Yeah. Is anyone excited for Clegane Bowl? Let's explain what it is. Like, who knows what Clegane Bowl is?
Oh,
it's probably more like, who doesn't know what Clegane Bowl is.
You guys want that? Is that a thing?
Yes.
I feel like we're gonna get it in the show, and we're not going to get it in the books. George hates giving us what we want. I think there's a mention of it possibly happening in the show in this first episode, actually, in Dragonstone last week. When Sandor is looking into the flames and he's reading the flame, and he mentions an arrowhead-shaped mountain. And then earlier in the episode, they had shown the mountain's new armor. And if you look at it, his helmet is very arrowhead-shaped. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are believing that that is him foreseeing Clegane Bowl happening in the show. So
there have been a lot of great memes from that, from him, you know, from Sandor's fire gazing. There's one that's, you know, it's just like, what do you see in the fire? And, you know, he basically says something that just strongly, even more strongly references Clegane Bowl. And then the next shot is just a picture of the fire, and in the flames it says effing confirmed.
I'm kind of curious, like, when they look in the fire in the show, do they need a red priest with them to help them see this? Because it seems a lot of people look in the fire, but that's the way I look, read it, or view it.
Well, next episode, Sandor's going to have a red cloak on.
I'm just curious. Otherwise, can just people look in the fire now and just see stuff, or is just
very, I don't know. Yeah, there? That's a little...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah. So would you rather have Sandor kill the mountain, or Arya take him out? Because he's still on her list. Who doesn't want Arya to just kill everyone, right?
I mean, she's getting there.
In the show, she only has two people left on her list, right? It's Cersei and the Mountain. Is there anybody else?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Her list just got a lot smaller after she murdered every Frey in existence. But yeah, I'd like to see Arya take out the Mountain too. It's like, yeah, Clegane Bowl, whatever. Arya, take him out. That's a fight I want to see.
I guess I just, especially, you know, after, like, with his fight, the Mountain's fight with Oberyn and everything, and, like, how badly that ended, like, I would love to see, like, the other, you know, side of that, where he fights somebody and he actually loses, though I would be shocked if, like, Sandor actually lives. Like, it's probably far more likely he's going to die taking out the Mountain, but... I don't know. I love Sandor. He's like my favorite. So. Yeah.
Did anyone go to the panel yesterday? The Game of Thrones panel?
Yeah.
There you go. I heard they didn't really give out any spoilery stuff or whatnot.
They didn't. It was pretty good. Also, I feel like most people were distracted by Alfie's puppy.
Well, there's a puppy on stage?
Yeah, Alfie Allen brought
where's
a puppy.
Where's the puppy?
Cradling it in his arms like a child.
Aww.
And
That's because everyone hates Theon, so he needed to do something to bring his image back up, right?
The internet and Twitter love him now.
That's all you need to get people to love you is a puppy. Yeah. A really cute puppy.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people saying it was kind of a missed opportunity. They were hoping for a little bit more kind of teasing or something, or giving them a little something. There was a video, I guess, of what's to come in the season, nothing in the way of kind of teasery hints or any sort of spoilery stuff.
Uh-oh. I think
oh, yes, I did see that.
Tells her that she thinks that she's important along with somebody else.
Yeah, she says, and one other.
Of course. Well, awesome. Yeah, Melisandre can't keep putting all of her eggs in one basket.
It's everybody now. God, I gotta get one of these.
Danny needs to have a Red Priest with her, though. It's kind of matches, because John will now have one coming up to be with him, just like in the books, there's two Red Priests. I mean, the Melisandre's actually up north with Jon, but it makes sense that they would both have Red Priests.
Yeah, because Mikoro
is... There's Red Priests everywhere, there's one. Yeah, Mikoro, yeah. In the show, because there's one over in Meereen that happened in last season, and there's Thoros, and there's...
And, the show is definitely pushing us toward... Like, there's so many things that happen that it's kind of like, all right, this is basically confirming some of, like, the book theories. Like, do I think Jojen paste is a thing? I probably not. No. But, it's... You know in the book that Jojen is probably going to die, but, like, the fact that he died so soon in the show...
So, wait, what's Jojen paste? What's Jojen?
Jojen has been ground into paste, and then Bran is eating him, and initially didn't like the taste, and now he likes the taste of it. So it's powering him, basically.
Yeah, they said I think it's supposed to be something with, it helps him see better when he is, you know, attached to weirwood.net, so...
When he eats Jojen, he sees
better. Yeah.
Yeah, because he just, like, disappears, huh? They go in the tree, and then he's gone.
Yeah, he's I just reread these like a little while ago, and it was kind of the first probably few times I've read Dance with Dragons, I didn't really think about it, but this time I really noticed the fact that Jojen is just not around.
So
George has some weird thing about people eating other people after they've been cooked and ground up.
Yeah.
George gets some. George's pretty twisted. That's a twisted dude right there. Do you think he's watching the show and he's like, oh, that's how they think it's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
I think there was a question up here. Ideally, if you could come down, but if not, like, was there any questions up here? Somebody put their hand up, I think.
I couldn't remember whether or not Ellen Payne was still alive.
In the they haven't. Yeah. Well, the actor passed away, I think. So they haven't shown him, you know, like, and but even before then, he hadn't appeared on the show in a really long time. So yeah, that would be one name that, if he's technically still alive, but like, because they haven't showed him at all, I think that they've just kind of decided to write the character out of the show, which may mean like his important, like, I mean, cause I also in, you know, Braun is teaching Jamie how to fight, not Ellen Payne, and I think that was happening before the actor passed away. But yeah, it's in the books he's still around, you know. So I, but he must not be somebody who's going to do something insanely important, would be my guess.
He actually didn't die.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. He got diagnosed with terminal
cancer. Oh, he didn't pass away. Okay, I thought he passed away.
Still survived.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
He just decided he didn't want to act anymore and wanted to. Yeah.
All right, so we have two options. We can either power through one of these theories, or we can take a side look at the shipping images.
Oh, I think you want to dive into some crazy theories.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Terry, you're going crazy about something.
Is it on the second page, or do you want to... What's this gray mist equals blood rate?
Oh, so that's not really, I don't even know if theory is the right word. It's more like if you read the series, not just like the Song of Ice and Fire books, but also Duncan Egg, there's all these things that happen, and there's this constant mention of gray mist. And if you like dig into all the mentions of gray mist, it's times that Blood Raven would have either been present or was like watching. You know, so sort of like when he is probably glamored as the Plum, the Hedge Knight in Mystery Knight. You know, that when he first appears, there's like a gray mist mention. There's some other times in the Song of Ice and Fire series where they mention the gray mist, like with Bran and stuff. And it's just, it's very clearly like that's when Blood Raven is watching you.
Because they actually mention in, they talk about his abilities, Blood Raven's abilities. Yeah. And one of them is that he can turn into mist.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's so I don't, like I said, theory probably isn't even the right word. I think it's just, it's a really neat sort of writing tool that Martin is using to show when Blood Raven is either there or possibly just outright influencing events. So
the old man in the tree.
Yeah.
So who has read Mystery Knight, which is the third Hedge Knight? I'm just curious. Yeah. If there's something you need, like you finish the books and you read, I would go read the three Hedge Knight stories, because especially Blood Raven is there, and there's a lot more meaning when you see him in the fifth book, when you've already seen him in the Hedge Knight stories. And
yeah.
That third one, I didn't like it initially, but once you reread it, like this, he's yeah. there in disguise. It's crazy. You don't notice that.
Yeah, it was definitely my least favorite of the three Duncan Egg books, but then every time, it's the same way when I reread Song of Ice and Fire Theory, series, like my favorite book from that series has changed like three times. So
nice.
Okay, so does anyone believe Aegon is actually Aegon? Is my question. Do you believe what you think? Yeah. Do you actually believe he's the real deal?
I totally believe he's the real deal, and I also think he's totally doomed.
I am with you 100%. I think he's real. I think he's legit. There possibly may be some Blackfyre tinge, something going on with this. But yeah, I believe he's real, and I believe he is a device that Martin is using to have him be there, gather all the forces, all the Targaryen loyalists. Then Daenerys is going to come over, and something's going to happen. Aegon's going to get. He's going to die, and then all the Targaryen loyalists will be together and under Daenerys. So it's kind of a way to expedite her return instead of having three more books where she comes over and slowly builds up her forces again. That's what
I agree that's going to happen. I just don't think he's legit. I think he's just Blackfyre or fake, but that arc is going to happen.
I agree.
He's going to be swept aside by Dany as like a pretender.
Basically. I mean, and there's the biggest, you know, thing is people believe that he's
Blackfyre. But yeah. I mean, there's also theories that he is like Illyrio's son, yes. I think. So, because Illyrio married a woman from Lys, and Illyrio himself is blondish. So,
I mean, you can combo those, like that the woman could have been on the Blackfyre line, and then so it's Illyrio's son, but also Blackfyre.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love the Blackfyre.
Okay, so then Southron admission / Maester conspiracy is the, kind of the explanation for why all these families were kind of arranged to marry at the start of the series, like why Robert was arranged to marry Lyanna and so forth, is they were trying to build a power block against the Targaryens. And then in reality, it was actually executed. It was used to beat the Targaryens, that marriage alliance, or at least the families that were going to be allied. So that's what it kind of talks about there. And also the fact that the North was interested in the South, which they normally aren't, but Ned's father was. That's what South
Africa is. Yeah. Well, I mean, and if you don't like, if you don't know like the history of like prior to all these like marriages, the you know all the major houses, they used to marry just within their area. Like a Stark would marry like a Nori or a Little or whatever. That it didn't even have to be necessarily a major house from the North. They would. You know, they would just marry a northerner. You know, so for them to all of a sudden, for there to all of a sudden be alliances like Jaime was supposed to marry Lysa probably, and and of course then the Starks and the Tullys and whatnot, and John Arryn fostering you know a Baratheon and a Stark at the same time. So it wasn't just marriages either; it was also, you know, just fostering those sort of relationships to take down the Targaryens, and that the Maesters were kind of the ones that put the seed into everybody's head, which I must have read the books like probably 3 times before I even heard of this theory. Yeah. And then as soon as I heard it, I was like, wow, that is, yep, okay. Yep, that makes total sense. And this gives me a totally different, like, you know, it makes me think about the Maesters like a completely different way.
So. Diabolical.
Yeah. Well, they don't like magic for the most part, other than Marwyn. They don't like. Yeah. They want magic to die out, dragons to die out.
That guy loves magic.
Yes.
The others, yeah. Daenerys, got dragons. All right, Stormcon.
An heir to the North is the whole hips thing.
The whole hips.
Narrow hips with childbearing hips. Yeah, it's like a single line. People think that Jane Westling was pregnant and maybe switched out and Jamie saw the wrong person. But
yeah. Just there were two different descriptions, right?
That's right. Yeah. Jamie and Caitlin's different points of view. But by the way, I think Jamie and Lysa would have been a good marriage, actually. I think
it
would have worked out for both of them.
Yeah, he would have been her like true knight. If he could have left Cersei alone for like 5 minutes.
Okay, so there's other theories here, but if people have their own theories or questions, yeah.
After we had the Northern Conspiracy, from the last episode of the show, do you think that was all funneled down into seeing Arya pretty much from the first episode? You know, that all the machinations just for the show was just all condensed down to Arya and
so you mean the question like who's going to kill the Freys? Yeah, I feel like if Arya is in the show did what maybe Caitlin and other people will do in the books. It was just an efficient, also badass way to get rid of the Freys. But I think it's going to go differently in the books. What do you think? Do you think that's?
It's going to go differently in the books. But I don't know. Like because at this point, you know, Lady Stoneheart is around like hanging Freys and killing Freys left and right. But I mean, I don't see that she's going to exist like for the entirety of the story. But I think that she's going to probably, I mean, at this point she's taken out a good amount of Freys. So I don't know how many will be left for anybody else to kill off. But yeah, by not bringing in Lady Stoneheart, you know, it's very obvious that the show is giving like some of her stuff to Sansa and some of her stuff to Arya, mostly to Arya. So, you know, I with the show, they condense these things and put, you know, one storyline from a character they didn't bring into the show with another character to give them more to do, which is, I mean, it's kind of, they have to do that. Otherwise, this show would be, I know a lot of people who haven't read the books and watched the show have trouble keeping up with the number of characters on the show as it is, so.
Do you think Arya got her uncle out of the jail cell after she murdered everybody? I think she left him there.
Who,
Edmure?
I think she should have. But,
yeah. Wait, was he back?
He's like, I mean, like,
he is apparently there, yeah. I mean, Frey mentions him being put back in jail, like, and not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They mention him in another place, and then he mentioned that he got him under his custody.
That's what I was gonna say, because I like last I remember he was at River Run, you know, helping the armies get into and take over River Run. I honestly hadn't paid attention to what happened to him after that, so I had no idea. But no, maybe he's down there just. She has no idea he's there. Hopefully, some of those serving
she's been there for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, undercover.
Yeah.
Hopefully let him out, but whether they did, I don't know. So, we'll find out. May find out.
I would hope we'll see him again.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, we have other theories to go through, but again, if people have their own or their own questions, we can do that. All right.
Who do you think Jon Hagar's target is?
Whose target, sir?
Oh, Jack and Hagar.
His target.
Oh, right now I think he might have switched to finding about that Book of Dragons, right? Isn't that what he's trying to get? Because Jack and Hagar, he's in the fourth book, right? In the prologue of the fourth or the epilogue? I think it's
prologue. Yeah.
So I think he's doing research for the Faceless Men because they're considering what to do about dragons.
And yeah.
That's what.
But. Yeah, I mean, if he has a target... I mean, my guess is that it would be like Cersei or somebody, but then why is he in Old Town? So yeah, I've heard that it's a theory technically that he's just there doing research, but like that makes more sense because I can't imagine who in Old unless it's like that one of the High Towers. Hiding up in their castle tower.
I feel like he just got a fax and he changed his well, not a fax, but the raven. He's changed assignments to something more important. Mm. And that, trying to get that book on dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about the D&D DD theory?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So this is like one of those super like crazy theories that one of my friends pointed me to this on the Song of Ice and Fire subreddit, where it's D plus D equals T, which is Dany and Drogo equal Tyrion. And that, like, somehow, like, Rhaego, her son, there's like time travel involved. Honestly, I could never. It would take me probably 30 minutes to just explain like the basic stuff from this theory. But if you go to like Song of Ice and Fire subreddit and search for D plus D equals T, it's a fun read because there's time travel. It's like a sci-fi novel all in its own. There's time travel. There's like Rhaego turns.
Well, it was Mary Mazdor who teleported through time essence of the stallion that will mount the world from
Rhaego to Tyrion.
Yes.
Somehow.
So, yeah, and they pick out the lines that back it up and everything, and oh my gosh, it's so bizarre. I kind
of
love it.
It's fairly decent in some sense. Like, some parts of the theory make sense. I think the overall part doesn't. I think they just, parts of it make sense, and they're maybe more because they're from other theories. Targaryens often have, like, miscarried babies or weird babies. It makes sense that Dany had that, but then they kind of twist it and play with that.
I think the whole time travel thing came in when Daenerys gives birth to the child with wings and everything. That Mary Mazdor says it's been someone says it's been dead for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that line in particular
is a strong one. Yes, right.
Because it ties in with all of the story of Oedipus and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it relates King's Landing to Thebes and how it shows all these similarities between Tyrion and Oedipus, and it kind of makes this line that Daenerys is Tyrion's mom and eventually he's going to sleep with her.
Mm. Yeah, because
the
time travel and the fact that, you know, the Rhaego is Tyrion now and Dany and Drogo, you know, gave...
So when Drogo was born, Mary Mazdor sent the essence into Tyrion when he was being born. There you go.
I feel like I should have made a graph for this. Or
And like the Mad King and Joanna's child, or Tywin, I guess the father doesn't really matter in this theory.
Yeah.
That essence get transported to Drogo, and that's why that child is all malformed.
But yeah, but it wasn't crazy enough that Dany and Drogo are Tyrion's parents. He also had to throw in the Oedipus complex thing where Tyrion is eventually going to sleep with her. So.
But even like what Mira Mazdor said, that part of the theory is being another theory. Is like that is being met. Like if the sun rises the opposite direction and those kind of things that she said are being met,
in the books.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, a lot of the times these theories, it's like, as crazy as they are, the people who come up with them are intelligent, and they back their stuff up not only with, you know, textual stuff from the series, but also with, like, historical references and whatnot. So even if it's a crazy theory that you're never actually going to believe, a lot of them are really fun to listen to, like, series or read or whatever. Like, I listen to one of Preston Jacobs' video series that's my favorite. He has a whole one about Targaryen, like, DNA and bloodlines, and he goes into, like, there's, like, an X gene and a Y gene, and how which Targaryen gets both or either one of those genes means, like, they can be a dragon rider or they can't, or, like, only, like, men can only be dragon riders. They can't actually hatch dragons. So that's why, like, whenever a boy hatches a dragon, it's a Targaryen child who spends a lot of time with, like, he's with his mother. But when they're, like, fostered out or, like, overseas for some reason or not around their mother has died, they don't hatch a dragon. It's very interesting. Like, and also I like the idea that only women can hatch dragons, so.
I don't know, you're putting a lot of faith in Preston Jacobs. I don't know if I would.
And that's the thing. Like again, so many of the theories out there on his videos or on the subreddit and everything, they're absolutely unbelievable. But once in a while, somebody gets something right. I mean, honestly, if people weren't positing theories, we wouldn't have some of the very legit ones that we do at this point.
Right, yeah.
So that's why I kind of try to give. I try to read or listen to as many, you know, of them as possible. Even if I can look at a description and see I'm not going to believe it, it's still interesting to know what's out there, because I've discovered some things that I wouldn't have really thought about otherwise. So.
And we have some tinfoil hats to hand out to the crowd, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I should have brought one, like, for myself. Yeah.
So on the subject of dragons, episode one of seventh season had reanimated giants. Do you think we'll see any reanimated dragons if somehow someone kills them?
That sounds amazing. Yeah. How would that... Well, I think the whole problem with the dragons is that they're so anti the whites and the others. Like, I just feel like that wouldn't be possible for them. There'd be something innate in the DNA of these dragons.
I would think so, yeah. But I heard that one of the dragons is going to be, like, a white dragon or whatever. But I honestly can't remember where I heard it, and it could have been, like, it was in a big, like, publication or whatever, you know, not Entertainment Weekly, but it was definitely, like, a big name publication that had done, like, fake news. That had done, you know, had interviews and everything with the producers and stuff. And I can't remember where I found it, but whoever mentioned it, I was like, oh God, I hope not. Like, this actually might be a thing that happens. Like, I have to believe that because of, you know, where the news is coming from, but please no.
I mean, I do want to see an undead dragon.
Does anybody, yes, okay, show of hands, who thinks that we're going to see, like, a resurrected dragon?
I think the deeper question is, will a dragon die? At least one will die.
Yeah, oh yeah, right? Yeah.
There's a cost to it,
yeah.
Yeah, or Ice Dragon.
I want to believe that Euron, that's his gift. He's like, I know where an Ice Dragon is. I'm going to bring you one of those.
I still think that there was one under Winterfell that escaped when they burned it down. So
The description of, like, that they see at the end of second book.
Yeah, right? when Bran is warged into summer, and he sees, like, the smoke and something rising from, I've read that passage so many times because I think I just want to believe that there was a dragon under Winterfell.
Well, the world of Ice and Fire helped that theory a little bit. Like, I said, like, there was dragons visited there before.
Exactly, yeah.
It might have laid, like, an eggs down there.
And it's, like, just dating in the hot springs or something?
Yeah.
Yes. Winterfell?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like an egg? Just an egg maybe that hatched? But no, it would have been, like, a little hatchling.
It's a nice gift from Rhaegar.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right, yeah. But I guess if it was an egg, then it would hatch into, like, a little tiny thing. So I don't know about that, but I really want to believe that there was like some sort of like hibernating full grown dragon under Winterfell. So don't kill my dreams, guys.
Speaking of Euron, I'm kind of curious what you thought of him in the show. And I think he's, I mean, I don't like him in the books, but he's a threat in the books. Like, he's a dangerous player in the books. But
they're saying he's going to be the big bad guy of the season.
Yeah. He said that. He said that his character. It was an interview with the actor, and he said his character was like worse than any villain they've ever had on Game of Thrones. So we'll see.
Oh, he just wants to be. Okay.
There was some I'm not going to name the publication, but a major Game of Thrones website that does article, you know, like episode reviews and stuff like that, called him Enron Greyjoy. Like they misspelled it and their editors didn't catch it. I've stopped referring to him as Euron, and he is Enron Greyjoy, like on purpose.
I like it. He doesn't have the eye patch, so.
No, he's a danger in the books. Like, he knows that the dragons are the way to go, and he's going after a dragon, and he may have the ability to get one. So,
are we going to see the horn?
In the show, you think? I mean, I guess that could be one of the things. I think it's probably simpler that he's going to just get a person rather than the horn, but I guess it could be possible.
I don't know. Is it too late to introduce that? Could they introduce it in a way that would make us go, oh, God.
Well, they need something to counter that. Dany's just too powerful right now, like in the show, right? She has like this massive fleet. She has everything. They could try to beat her on sea, but otherwise they pumped up the Greyjoys in the show. Like, they give them 1,000 ships, like an Iron Fleet. No, that's, they don't, have they been building ships? Like,
they built those ships real fast. I have some questions about their seaworthiness.
There you go.
We just got the 15-minute warning, so if anybody has, like, questions, if you want to just, like, line up.
If you could line up, it would be great.
Line up. Make a big line.
These guys just really want somebody to just line up.
No. I mean, it's just...
Please just line up.
It's so much easier to hear, like, on our recordings when it's on the microphone.
There you go.
So I'm curious where you see Blackfish and Bennett coming back in the story.
Oh, it's not even
They've been open-ended for years, so will they ever reappear, or what will they do?
Well, everyone meets at Howland Reed. That's how it works.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Everybody we don't know where they're going, they're just partying at Howland Reed.
Yeah, so somehow the castle that can't be found has been found by everybody. I don't think Martin is big on like big loose ends like that. These are pretty major characters. So Benjen, I'm at a loss as to what exactly is going to happen with him in the books. But Blackfish is absolutely going to come back around. I mean, and it's pretty, like, I mean, my guess is that he has, you know, Jane Westerling with him, possibly. If people are right about them switching people out. But regardless, he's definitely out there trying to stir up things for his, you know, his side. So
he's gonna come back.
Some people think he's Hooded Man in Winterfell, but he might have also gone to, the Eyrie, could have gone to Helm. There's a lot of places he could have gone, but he will be back, yeah.
It'd be cool to see him pop up at the Vale. Now that Lysa is dead, and see what happens there. That would be a cool.
Isn't it locked down for the winter?
It is.
The Eyrie is, but you can still try to muster forces there. Like, he would have a lot of clout there, I think.
Just chill.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I have a quick question. General question. How do you think the book series will end? Do you think we'll have a situation where there's like 7 different kingdoms?
You guys got any strong opinions on that?
I don't think the Iron Throne is going to be all that important. That's kind of my biggest thing. I think it's going to be like split kingdoms most likely, but I think the Iron Throne thing is going to kind of close out. That's probably the biggest thing, honestly. I don't think there's going to be one kingdom united under Dany or whatever. I also don't think, it's not going to be a happy ending. Not all the stories are going to be wrapped up, that type of thing. Martin's not big on that, so.
Yeah. It's going to kind of be like, then things continued on.
Sort of you need dragons to hold all Westeros together, and so temporarily maybe they'll hold it together, but I think ultimately the Iron Throne was already on a path to breaking up. If Ned and Robert hadn't been such good friends, it might have broken up earlier, the kingdom, so I don't think it's going to be united in the long run. Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
So I actually just found this on Facebook this morning as I was scrolling through while in line. So you tweeted out that you can actually see a difference in the opening sequence now compared to the compared to previous seasons where it looks like the sea next to the wall by Eastwatch is freezing over. Mm. So that the Hound, when he looked at the fire and said that he saw them just walking around the wall, like, that's how that's going to happen. Like, do you guys think that's legit? Or
climate change is real. I actually saw that same thing. Somebody posted pictures and all the comments were, what the hell am I looking at?
Yeah. This looks like a fuzzy spot where my
exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I saw that too, and I could see it freezing over. There's also the theory that the wall, as it melts, the magic, the wall's always melting and refreezing, and yeah, it's sort of oozing into the water by Eastwatch by the sea, and that's what sort of has prevented the others and the whites from just swimming across, because we've seen them in water, at least in the show. So that melted magic is there. But I guess it could freeze over. My big thing about them coming through is the mark on Bran's wrist is probably depowered the wall now, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, we saw the walkers like marching before, and I guess maybe they were still north of the wall, but before Bran like actually went through the wall. But yeah, when my fave Dolores said, let him do the wall. What are you doing again?
He doesn't know any better.
I was like, gosh darn it, man. They're like really ramping it. Like, they're moving this fast. I wasn't expecting that to happen in the first episode, so.
But it's weird that it is slightly different, or that people have noticed some sort of difference. I mean, but I guess as the Night King approaches the wall, it's going to get colder.
Yeah.
So maybe that could freeze
it. It seems like Eastwatch is going to be the critical place. Now that I remember it, Melisandre in the books even sees a vision about Eastwatch and shadows hitting it. I always thought that was somewhere else and she was mistaken, but maybe it actually is Eastwatch.
Yeah.
But the wall has to come down. Is there anybody who doesn't think the wall's going to fall down at some point? Like, especially last episode, Game of Thrones, they were heavy-handed. The wall's never come down.
It's always stood.
Come on here.
Giant tidal wave to head Essos.
So yeah. Crazy. Awesome. So yeah, I think it could freeze and they could walk around, but I feel like that the wall's got to come down.
Oh. Yeah.
That too.
Absolutely.
Also,
it falls down. They're like, guys, the plan was to walk around. Let's. Thank you so much. Awesome.
We want to float. Yeah, we've got some fun other.
I guess
stuff
we saw some of the other slides. Yeah,
we just want to ship people.
We just want to show the images of the ship. Is it showing up? Yeah.
Speaking of shipping, didn't Kit Harington and Leslie, what is her full name? I completely
Leslie.
Thank you. Aren't they an official couple now?
Yeah, they're engaged.
Oh
really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There we go. There's some shipping for you.
Well, Jon Snow knew something. What's interesting about shipping is, I mean, there's creepy stuff out there, right? I mean, Brienne is actually quite the focus of a lot of shipping, like, because she has Jaime, but she also has Sir Hal Hunt in the books as well. Like, there's a lot going on with Brienne, and now
Tormund
in the shows.
I'm kind of bummed that the Tormund Brienne thing isn't happening in the books. Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah, he's so.
Do you guys see the Tormund Brienne plus Brienne equals Ed Sheeran? Like, you've been asking for it, don't regret it now. Be careful what you wish for.
I always felt like my own theory was that Ygritte was Tormund's daughter in the show. I felt like that kind of fit.
Mm. Yeah.
But then there's Sansa's involved in some, which are... There's one that I saw, it's called Stan-San, but it's like Stannis and Sansa. And I found that really creepy and also hilarious at the same time.
Jeez.
But then there's a...
Wait, who's this guy? Is this Stannis right here?
This one is Stannis, yeah, he's confused, but...
Is that... Wait, who is... Is that... That's
supposed to be Sansa, but...
Oh, that's Sansa? Oh.
Could also be Roz, I suppose, but, then there's Sansa and Peter. Now, this is one that you're interested in, Kyle, I think.
I think I'm the only one who kind of wants those two to become the ultimate power couple, but...
And Jonsa, of course.
That is show created now, right?
Yeah. I've, like, a couple friends who only watch the show who are big into Jonsa, so...
Wait, John and Sansa?
Yeah.
Well, everybody wants John and Daenerys, but that's aunt, nephew?
They're Targaryen.
It's Targaryen. It's
not all right.
Quick
not creepy at all.
Very quick question from the show. What do you think? Like, do you think Jon was right or Sansa was? I might actually have an interesting view.
They're both right about this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a tough decision. They've got two things. They've got the others coming, and they've got Cersei, who's not just going to sit around and let her enemies, you know, be happy and stuff like that. So they've got this double-pronged attack happening. They have to deal with both of them. And John's obviously focused on the crazy shit that he's seen to the north, and Sansa's focused on the crazy shit she's seen in the south. And neither of them is wrong. They're both right. They just have to get together and figure out how to deal with both of them at the same time. You know?
Yeah, I mostly agree with that as well. I just think she should have talked to them behind the scenes first. Like, well, it was undermining them a bit in public. But otherwise, I think they... Yeah, it's a mixed answer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then there's... this is actually, I'll mention in a minute, just George R. R. Martin. If you like George R. R. Martin, you're waiting for the books. He's been writing for decades. Check out his... He has, like, science fiction works. He has other works. He has, like...
And a lot of his stories have very, like, similar... They have very similar
themes, same world.
to Song of Ice and Fire. So they're a lot of them are sci-fi. And actually, that's like one of the theories out there has been gathering. Like, it's like a gathering storm lately. I'm hearing about more and more is that Song of Ice and Fire is actually set in like this post-apocalyptic world where there was the long night was a nuclear winter. And so like that's like one of those theories, and like I said, it's like a gathering storm. I keep hearing more and more about it lately. So
this pear-shaped man, that's a really creepy story by George. Check it out.
The pear-shaped man?
Yeah, the pear-shaped man. It's really okay, so Ice and Fire Con, we have some photos. What's this
I don't know, one of our pictures disappeared, but
yeah. Might be
next. that large blank space is just supposed to be an Ice and Fire Con banner. Really know what happened to it, but yeah. So Ice and Fire Con, like I said earlier, we just had our fifth year this year, and it's basically like this panel for an entire weekend with a lot of alcohol and costumes. So yeah, so these are some of our fun things. We did like an Aegon the Unworthy and his mistresses cosplay group. And we have a big board game tournament that Amin here actually runs every year. That's the other organizer and I. It's a lovely female-owned business convention.
Where is it?
Next year, it's going to be in Ohio. So we were in Ohio the first 3 years. We found a bigger location in Virginia, and we're there for 2 years. We've already outgrown that. So,
do you still do it in a castle?
No, sadly. We had the castle the first 3 years was amazing, but they couldn't, you know, all those places, the castle resorts, they're very small. We could only have like 70.
They don't build castles like they.
Yeah, like about 70 people staying on site. So unfortunately, we had to go to more like realistic places, but we still don't. It's not a big like convention center, you know, it's a lot more intimate and like beautiful grounds outside and everything. So I don't know, it's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
So we also have MS Paint. We've done the first two books and almost finished the third book. Does MS Paint for each chapter? We just draw it out and our fans. So we gave George the first one. That was
he loved response to it. Loved it. he was like, oh, all right, thank you very much.
There's also, if you really dive into this world and you really want to get into it, we've written essays on the books as well. So with Flight of Sorrows and Hymn for Springs. Like as I said, you could just read the books once and be done with it, but if you go into it, there's many layers, there's a lot of depth to it. So that's pretty much it. That's our context, and we're going to have drinks afterward.
If you guys, I think we have like a couple more minutes, so if anybody has any other questions. Yes.
So you mentioned you want Peter Baelish and Sansa to get together.
Yes.
I just feel like that would be the ultimate failure for her. Growing slowly and steady for 5 books, frustrating all of us, but still growing slowly and steady. And she's gonna just fall for Peter?
I don't think she's gonna fall for him. She's gonna use him, maybe.
I don't know if I can fully explain it. She started off the series, you know. I want to meet a handsome man, and I want to love him, and he'll love me. And then she kind of realized that the truths of the world and how much harsher it is, and how it doesn't seem like love always gets you through in this world. And that I just feel like what she's learned and what Peter knows, if they got together, would be such a power couple. And I don't think there would be any love on her side from that. But I really think they could just run the show, and it would be fun to watch.
And even outside of like them being in a relationship, I think that they are going to run at least some sort of show for a little while together, you know. But she's definitely she's come into her own so much. Even in
Does anybody care about Winds of Winter spoilers?
Whoa.
From the Sansa chapter that was released, like, that Martin put on his website.
I don't even know if I've read it. What was that, like, 6 years ago?
Yeah. So
I probably have.
I won't say anything specific, but she is... The Sansa in this chapter that he released from Winds of Winter is, like, almost an entirely different person. Like, I'd be shocked if this is the first chapter of hers in Winds of Winter, because I don't see how she would go from... single chapter that she had in Dance of Dragons? And she had like maybe one or two chapters in Dance of Dragons. And the person that she seems to be in this next book is like way more agency and taking control and actually seems to be like playing Peter and several other people around her already. I think that they're going to run things together for a little while, at least in the Vale. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Like, he's a huge step down for her in a lot of ways. But, you know, to each their own, like, shipping-wise, really, guys. Like I said earlier,
He's a lord, like, two or three times over.
I stumbled upon some Stannis Sansa fan fiction and I read it out of curiosity and it was like, you know, I don't want them to happen, but like it was a cool thing. It was a fun read. It was very well written. So yes.
Oh, we just got the sound.
While we're on the subject of Sansa, I just gotta say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I recognize.
I just gotta say
hi
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, that this is the show's way of, you know, kind of showing us how probably what she's going to become in the books, honestly. Maybe not quite that forceful or whatever, but yeah, I mean, she has every right to kind of take that agency now and speak up. But of course, this is Westeros and it is still a, you know, generally, as much as the show has like these strong female characters.
But I wouldn't even say that it's because she's a woman that challenged them. I mean, just anyone challenging their lord that aggressively is not the smartest way to, we can explain why it happened. I'm just saying there's better ways to do it.
I mean, I'm kind of paralleling it with like what Catelyn and Rob went through. You know, that was partly like, yes, he's her lord and her king, but he's also her son. And like I do feel like there's still a lot of that whole this is a man's world thing. But hopefully, I don't know, maybe a little more push from these women, just, you know, a little bit more, because they haven't done enough apparently. And maybe they won't be questioned so much. So are we
We got the stop like 5 minutes ago.
This happens every year because awesome. This is the last panel in this room.
I love it.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you
guys all for coming. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the con, and if you want to watch tomorrow's Game of Thrones, we're going to play it right now. Oh, wait, no, we don't have that. Oh, sorry.